Marlowe, editor-in-chief of Breitbart News, and this is the Breitbart News Daily Podcast. It's a tough show today. We discuss the shooting in Tennessee of a Christian school by an angry trans person before we delve into the disturbing poll about from the Wall Street Journal showing that Americans are turning away from what had previously been known as American values. Our guest today is Second Amendment journalist extraordinaire W.R. Hawkins, who works for us at Breitbart News. He explains what we know about the Nashville massacre. Let's get into it. Story of the day, unfortunately, yet another mass shooting. I hate these stories, and I am thankfully have come to the conclusion that it's better to not discuss them than to discuss them in most cases. It just does seem like whenever there's one that's high profile in the news, it encourages others. And today will be somewhat of an exception to that because of the circumstances of this one and the way the media has handled it and the way I think this one might end up showing a new, cultural phenomenon that we could be witnessing, which is the rage of the trans. And that is nothing that is pleasurable to report. It is the exact opposite. It is horrifying to report this because, of course, obviously we're grooming people as a society to be transgender. We've indoctrinated them with the lie that you can be something different than your biology. And it is something that is a increasingly common phenomenon. I think we see Gen Z, which is, well, when does Gen Z start? I should probably start having these dates memorized. I have a vague concept of it in my head, but I think in Gen Z, people are 20% or so of people identify as LGBTQ plus IA, two spirit, three spirit, four spirit, whatever it is. So not to say all those are the same, and they're of course not, and it's not fair to lump them all together, but we're grooming a very confused society. And we're also grooming a society that's taught to not just that America is not a particularly great place, but America is a horrific place that is abusive to all sorts of different groups of people, particularly the trans people. So when you take someone who is probably mentally disturbed or perhaps even demonic, and then you fill them with these ideas that they live in a horrible place, and that they are constantly being victimized by people on social media. They're constantly being victimized by people in their personal lives, in national politics, everything. Then you're going to start seeing a phenomenon of more people, you know, committing violent crimes. So this is pretty much what we saw, I think, yesterday. Now, will it be part of a larger trend? I don't know yet. I don't know, but certainly that would be the fear that could happen. And if you're uncomfortable talking in this way, just know that the left has a universal concept that the most dangerous phenomenon in society is cis hetero white males. So specifically, and that is so when those trends change, then you gotta start talking about it. So this was in Nashville where the shooting took place. There's security footage out there. I generally don't like watching this stuff because it really does, in a way, in the minds of some sick freaks, we will certainly feel like the security footage, the publicity that this is going to get, will encourage them. But it's also important to watch it because the ease in which this individual showed up to the school, drove up, shot through the doors or the windows that made up the doors, and then wandered around the hallway where people were sitting ducks. It is a marvel that only six people were killed in all. And in this case, it was actually a female to male trans, which was interesting because a lot of people online, when they saw that the killer was a female, a lot of us instantly thought, wait a minute, that doesn't make a lot of sense. How often is it a female? Can any of you name any other females of any of the famous mass shootings? I think someone crunched the numbers and I think there might have been two others. And so it's just very uncommon. Females aren't inclined to do this stuff. So I think a lot of people were thinking this was probably a man who identifies as a woman. But this one was actually the opposite. It was a woman who now identifies as a man. So Tennessee has been ground zero for a lot of the trans debate. They've had some fairly aggressive anti-grooming laws on the books, trying to make it so that society cannot have a role in grooming children to become trans. This was instantly where the media tried to go with this. Terry Moran over at ABC, who is a clown and has yet been on the air for an incredibly long time, had tied the shooting to recent legislation that the that had been passed in Tennessee that banned hormones and body mutilation for minors to the shooting. So immediately. So we don't know the motive, but ABC News in their initial report by the clown known as Terry Moran linked it to that. Well, the shooter was 28, so it shouldn't have directly made a difference in the shooter's life. The murderer is a better way of putting it. Someone who murders children and teachers. Something happening in our culture, in our society, that this happens so often. Of course, the left immediately blames all the wrong people, and first of all, it starts with guns. Next, it is that people in Tennessee are against the grooming of children into the trans cult that we're seeing. But what is not under consideration is that, well, it's very clear from the security footage that this person was allowed to do whatever they wanted to these children without any repercussions, any pushback. Minutes, maybe 20 minutes in all, who knows? We'll get the exact number, but it sure felt that long before this person is confronted. So credit to the officers, according to news reports. Michael Collazo and Rex Engelbert, two officers who shot and killed the monster. So, but according to a timeline from what we are able to glean on the internet, the individual showed up and was in the school parking lot over a half an hour before she was shot dead. So and breached the school about 15, maybe 20 minutes, which is probably not terribly slow for the cops. I mean, we saw what happened in Uvalde. It was, endless hours, seemed like, where the individual was allowed to have free reign over the school. Are we doing our best? Are we doing the most good we can for our young people? Of course not. People are not really learning much in schools. In many cases, our test scores are going down. They're clearly not safe there. Whatever precautions are, they're not enough. And we're poisoning so many people's minds. It's just a total misnomer that the guns are a factor. There's always been lots of guns in our society. There's a lot of them now. But this phenomenon is relatively recent. A lot of it is a combination of, I think a lot of toxic elements in our society that it would take. A lot of conjecture to tie them all together. We don't need to do all that right now. But it is just noteworthy every single time that there is no one there to protect these students. No one. And I'm not saying necessarily, arming all the teachers would be the best idea ever. I think that I would be up for it, certainly. But it's not like I trust all the teachers. Not like the teachers are particularly a crop of people who think are going to know how to handle firearms particularly well in general. Though, of course, there'll be many exceptions. But there's clearly got to be something done in terms of armed security at schools. Unless we don't take this seriously. We know we take it seriously, but we also know there's a big political issue for the left. One thing I haven't mentioned, which is also important, is not just that this was a trans individual shooting up a school, it was a trans individual shooting up a Christian school, a Christian campus, the Covenant School is what it's called. And there you do see a small amount of religious imagery in some of the security footage. Children's ministry. There's a children's ministry that the individual walks past, and on their mission to try to ruin the lives of lots of Christian families, and succeeded. So I'm tempted not to dwell on it. It just feels sick, and that's why I don't do it that much. I don't do it that much. But I was just struck at how quickly the media moved on to the guns and away from the ideology, when we know that if this person had a different ideology and had different characteristics, we'd be talking much more about those characteristics. And that is the choice the left made a long time ago. So if this person had a manifesto where they said they read Candace Owens, or that they did something that they made a white power sign at some point, we do a couple of months on that topic. Now, we know this person was part of this growing phenomenon of younger people who have been convinced by society that they're the wrong gender. And we don't know if this person was on treatment yet. You can do the math on whether or not women injecting themselves with testosterone would make something like this more or less likely. I will not state the patently obvious. So we don't know if that's happening. But those are the questions we know should be answered, should be asked. I ask them here at the risk of the ire of the Soros-funded freaks. But they have to be asked, and hopefully we'll get to the bottom of these things. But watch the media at this moment. This is a big moment for them, and they will fail at it. They always do. But Christians getting targeted. The shooter did attend the school a long time ago, which is noteworthy. All right. If you have anything to add, if you have any thoughts or anything you think in my summary that I've missed, I'm all ears. These things are just impossible to discuss. Teachers and children, who would do this? It's not just America. This happens around the world as well. America obviously is a higher likelihood of it. I think part of it is not just the obvious stuff, but I think the media plays a big role. Because some people, to get notoriety, will seek infamy. They're not going to seek doing good. But it'd be nice if we begin to start trying to figure out why this is happening on a psychological level, and not just stopping at things that are very convenient for the Democrats' talking points, i.e. guns. Shannon Watts, who's one of the biggest gun control advocates, hero to the media, who runs a lot of Mike Bloomberg's anti-gun pushes. Mike Bloomberg is surrounded by armed guards constantly. If the children of this school had the armed security that Michael Bloomberg has, zero of them would have died. Just to let you know. But Shannon Watts, who is one of the top gun control, anti-gun advocates, immediately blamed permitless carry before any details were known. Tennessee. The solution is always exactly what fits their political narrative, always, and they don't have to wait to share it. No armed resource officers at the school. See, how does that make sense? How does it make sense when you got a state where there's going to be a lot of guns, but none of them protect the students? It's insane and it's wildly aggravating that we would have that. It gives the whole concentration of the weapons to people other than the most vulnerable, kids at a school, which is clearly a soft target even with security protocols. So, all right, there'll be a lot more to come, and I'm just very interested to see if the dialogue, what happens to the dialogue nationally, which is already such a horrific level. Joe Biden showed some deep leadership. He spoke on Monday in the wake of the murders, and he joked in front of an audience in the East Room of the White House that he came down because he heard there was ice cream. He had chocolate chip ice cream. And then he immediately got into, we know that a number of people got shot and didn't make it. And then he went off on assault weapons. The press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, said that the White House will now be pursuing more gun control. They actually achieved some level of gun control during the first couple of years of Biden's administration, which is the first time in a long time, a couple of decades. So another item in the long list that I will walk through as we get closer to election season of the things that Biden's actually accomplished for the left. He's accomplished a lot more for them than any recent president. And by recent president, the only other one is Barack Obama. He's just been more efficient than Obama by a long shot, and people underestimate him. And he'll be back at it. He'll be back at it. Hollywood celebrities, of course, demanding gun control. I mean, what in our culture encourages gun violence more than Hollywood? Maybe video games. And there's no real sense of hypocrisy at all. What we do at Breitbart is whenever people call for gun control, we do our best to try to find photos of them using guns in movies. Got a couple of good ones. Jamie Lee Curtis, Julianne Moore, a couple others. I'm nervous that this is going to embolden the trans cultists. And let me be clear here. I don't think every person who... I'm not of the mind yet that it isn't a real phenomenon that there are some people who honestly believe that they were born in the wrong body. I understand that. And I'm not rejecting it 100% of the time. But obviously, when humans have been on the earth for as long as they have, and now all of a sudden one generation is like 20% that, we know that that's a cultural thing. And that's a way of them being given an excuse to work through the inevitable messiness of life and development and growing up and stuff like that, and trying to find a blanket explanation for any anguish that they're going through. I don't think you need to be a clinical psychologist to know that that's what's happening when you've got so much of our society that encourages it. And not just encourages it, it actually makes you free from criticism in a lot of circles. The affirmation is so, it's such a high priority for so much of the country that you end up getting away with stuff. I remember the listening to a podcast on an unrelated subject matter. And the person, I think they were talking about movies or something, made this aside about how they don't understand why the right cares about trans, because such a small part of the public, and the right just really wants to attack them and dehumanize them. And we should just ignore them because there's so few of them. But once you say that a group is free of criticism, then that's going to be a really appealing option for a lot of people. So, and then lo and behold, now we're here. where it's just a constant everyday conversation in society. So Madonna is going to protest the Tennessee law banning child sex change operations by donating concert proceeds to trans groups. Okay. Nice. The Lancet, which was formerly thought of as one of the great medical journals, praised Pope Francis for his LGBTQ advocacy, as well as his climate advocacy. Americans are starting to get it. Wall Street Journal had a poll that found that trans acceptance has gone too far. So people are starting to understand the pendulum's going to swing back, but it's the when and how far, and is it too late? How many people are going to have to unlearn? How long does it take to unlearn the people making big mistakes, starting to treat people as young as 6 or 7, as maybe even younger? Sometimes we do see it younger as trans people. I think a lot of people are going to wake up, but again, if the minority who accept this is large enough and the tolerance is so high that people don't question whether or not it's okay to alter the gender of your children, which is what we're seeing, then it's going to make, I think, America an even more tense and even more unhappy place than it's starting to become. Initially, before this happened, I was planning on opening the show discussing this other Wall Street Journal poll that showed basically traditional American values are not important to Americans any longer. So this is... There's a graphic in this article that we've highlighted Breitbart News. You can find the link on the front page, Breitbart.com. But the values that once defined America are in either decline or deep decline. Let me give you the most shocking examples. Patriotism, which was seen as very important to 70% of Americans in 1998. And 61% in 2019, is now considered a very important value at a level of 38% in 2023. Now, what could be the explanation for that? Well, the left, by 1998, had already thought that America was kind of a neutral place. So that would explain why 30% don't think it's a big deal. And that, of course, was going to slowly increase. So that explains the 61% in 2019. And after the 2020 election, which a lot of the conservative America regards as illegitimate, after the COVID-19 lockdowns, which were clearly illegitimate, ill-advised, keeping children home from school, saying you need to get these jabs if you want to participate in basics of society, allowing our elderly to die by themselves in hospitals, often because they were crammed in with sick people by Democrat governors, stuff like that, that's going to turn off a lot of people on the right. So now all of a sudden you're going to have people on the right who are going to be going, oh, wow, well, maybe we need national divorce. We need to start thinking about whether or not we need to separate the country. So we were slowly losing the left. And then I think a lot of people on the right just decided, well, maybe a place isn't that great after all. But there's some other things that happened at the same time. And those things are, for example, religion. Religion was at 62%, very important, 1998, 39% today. And any of you people out there who are of faith will tell you that as you prioritize religion less in your life, you get less happy and less satisfied. It's just true. It is, I'm a church-going individual. I'm a Bible-reading person. And I have lots of small children who have a conspiracy to make sure that I don't go to church every week. It just is. They work together to make sure that it's very hard for me to get everyone to church. And I will tell you, when I miss some, then I know that I can feel my, I can feel the rest of my life suffer from that. It is a check on yourself that is incredibly uplifting, and it, it is fulfilling to be able to connect spiritually with God. That is completely downplayed in our society, objectively. Having children was a high priority for 59% of Americans, 1998, 30% today. I was just saying to Mrs. Dr. Marlowe yesterday about how sometimes I wonder if me having our young children is the happiest thing that I've ever had in my life. And if it erases all of my other problems, that I get to have happy, beautiful children. A lot of people aren't going to, I have been told that you don't want that. It's not meaningful to you. It's not worth it. You're better off having all that free time so you can have brunch and you can sleep in and you can do other things. You can make sure to work a little bit more. I mean, brunch is great. Sleeping in is great. I love to work. So I would like to do more of all those things. I don't get to do as many of those things because I have a bunch of kids. But I think overall, I feel more fulfilled and I have more purpose because I have kids. I think there's a lot less discussion of that stuff now than there was 25 years ago. Community involvement actually went up from 47% to 62% over the two decades prior to 2019 and has fallen off a cliff, 27%. People talk about the phenomenon of focusing on the porch versus the patio. We're more of a back patio people than a front porch people. And you can see it in my neighborhood. I live in a pretty typical suburban neighborhood, leans slightly conservative, but is in a liberal county. And so pretty diverse population. And there are a few front porches where the homes have been designed so that you can sit in the front porch. Occasionally you see people out there, but you know there's people always in their back patios, always. I'm out there every day. The love of money's gone up from 31% to 43%. That makes sense. 90s more of a boom time. And then now with things being as expensive as they are, with trying to the effort to traverse from class to class seeming more challenging than ever, to go from the working class to the middle class, from the middle class to the upper class, just challenge right now. So we love money more, we like community involvement, having children, patriotism, and religion less. Can I ask the big question? Can I ask the big question? Are you okay with this? And how about the follow-up question? Why is this happening? Are we satisfied? Are we satisfied with where things are going? Are we satisfied with America right now? Are we convinced we're doing a better job now than 25 years ago? And can we look at some of the changes that have taken place? Less church going, more division by our media, more social media and addiction to phones, over prescription of a lot of pharmaceutical drugs, no doubt's a factor. What are we doing to ourselves? And are we going to be able to try to stop it? Or are we just going to gripe with each other on social media until enough of us punch out? A Senator Rand Paul staffer was brutally attacked by a knife-wielding assailant. Literally a Rand Paul staffer suffered life-threatening injuries. An unidentified male. This was Saturday. Stabbed over the weekend in Washington, D.C. Could have been targeted, could have been random. Both are terrible signs. If we're now basically, recall, Rand Paul himself was attacked in the middle of a Black Lives Matter melee. Of course, Steve Scalise, regular on the show, was nearly assassinated by a Bernie Sanders supporter. Both are bad. Our nation's capital is a disgrace when it comes to crime, and they will keep electing the same people. Or is it a targeted thing? Neither is good news. Both are terrible news. If we're now in the mode where we want physical violence against people who we disagree with, but more likely it's just people get stabbed now in DC. It just happens. Because what are people focused on who are in charge? They're not focused on stuff like this. They're focused on whether or not Donald Trump paid hush money to a porn star 6 years ago in New York. Soros-funded DAs trying to get people out of prison, violent criminals across the country, so they can spend more time investigating, you know, conservatives. Matt Taibbi, who is a journalist, he's a person of the left, but he's has some integrity, who broke a lot of the Twitter file stories that Elon Musk sent him. He testified in Congress last week and was visited by the IRS for some unknown reason, same day. Governments focus on journalists who have a narrative they don't like, an anti-woke narrative, while this stuff is happening in New York. Even 46% of Democrats say the DA prosecuting Trump would be an outrageous abuse of power, referring to Alvin Bragg. And I will say, I mean, this is a fairly obvious point, but I don't think it helps when Donald Trump posts a photo of him with a baseball bat with Alvin Bragg's face there. That definitely ratchets up the intensity. Those of you who missed the photo, I don't know what to say. CNN has deemed that white people should not be posting black GIFs. GIFs are those online little moving videos, moving pictures to illustrate a point. Memes, like the Michael Jordan crying one, you've seen a lot. You know, black people acting surprised or annoyed, whatever it is to illustrate a point that people share online to illustrate a mood or an emotion. CNN does not want people doing this. They're calling it digital blackface. If you post one of these, you're actually appropriating black culture. So if you're a white person, don't do it. A professor at Wayne State University has been suspended for suggesting protesters kill speakers they disagree with. Wayne State's in Detroit, Michigan. How is Detroit doing? President M. Roy Wilson released a statement informing the campus community that a professor, Alana Mastriangelo writes for Breitbart News, in their English department, made a social media post that essentially called for violence against people with whom they disagree. The statement was denounced. But the social media post itself said that protesters would be justified to commit murder to silence those with whom they disagree. Shouting down was not enough. I mean, suspended, though. They're going to get pay? What does it take to get fired? Calling for violence against speakers? It is... The trends are so bad, but I will say one thing. The solution is not punching out. The solution is not giving up on America. The solution is not fantasizing about some sort of national divorce or breaking up the country. Those aren't solutions. Those are cop-outs. So we have to try to fight every day. We have to try to fight the cultural battles. We have to fight the battles with the media. We have to do it nonviolently. We need to disavow political violence. And we need to start trying to think about some of the important questions and not be acculturated to not do so. We need to start thinking about that poll in the Wall Street Journal and ask, why is this happening? What can be done about it? Are we better off with these changes? Of course, the answer is no. So then how do we get back to what we lost? What are the steps we need to take? What are the steps we need to take to protect our children in schools? Do we feel like society is better off with this trans fad that we're in? The answers to these questions are obvious. The fixes are very difficult because so many people who oppose us politically are so dug in on it. W.R. Hawkins is on. It's very fortunate for us that he's available to speak with us on days like this because he tends to understand all of the various nuances of the firearms, the gun laws, and if there's anything that could be done in terms of security to try to prevent these mass shootings from taking place, or at least for minimizing the damage. He's got as much information as anyone about this stuff. So we call upon him in these scenarios. Let's hear from A.W.R. Hawkins. Dr. Hawkins, thanks for being with me. I've got a lot of questions. First of all, so with the shooting yesterday that took place, give me the lay of the land in terms of firearms. Do we know if they were how they were acquired? And most importantly, most interestingly for me, why was there no security for the students at the school?
Right. Well, at this point, there were three firearms, and police say at least two of them acquired legally. What that means, whether they say it or not, is all three were acquired legally, because if you can pass a background check to acquire a firearm, which would be the case in two of the instances, then you can buy firearms privately legally because you're a legal gun owner. So, but to quote police, at least two legally, I guess we'll leave it at that. I'm with you. The lack of a school resource officer shocked me. There was no one in there to protect those kids. It's absolutely shocking. I know we've said it before, but we saw it in Uvalde. I mean, you're a unlocked side door away from the most defenseless position you've ever imagined. And that's what came to fruition yesterday in Nashville.
Right. So, again, and all credit to the cops who got there quickly and probably kept the damage to a relative minimum, I guess, which is just impossible to say that. But it's the what was the policy there that is I'm just curious what the protocols were they followed? And how soft of a target was the school? Because it seems like they had locked the school, but the murderer was driving around the parking lot just free of anyone asking why they were there. It just seemed like there was no I know that the school that my kids go to, there's a security gate. And I mean, stuff like that is very helpful. It just does discourage people from who are inclined to shoot up a school to go there. And then they get to campus and she's wandering the halls and there's no one confronting her for a very long time. I'm just trying to figure out what you feel like are the mistakes that were made from what we can see so far.
Right. Well, I mean, you got to think, as we covered yesterday at Breitbart, I wrote, she had another location she was going to hit, but she did reconnaissance work on it and took everything in and decided the risk was too great because they had high security. And so what she did, we've seen this so many times, Alex, it's a shame, whether we're talking about a school or a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, she picked the target that was softest, the target that had the least security. That's a sickening thought, I know, but that's what she did. And at some point, we got to come to grips with that and harden these targets. But, you know, I don't know any particular protocol that was in place that I have read about covering this story. I just know that she came in, she started on the first, which started in the church, then hit the first floor, then went up to the second floor, which is where the police confronted and killed her. But as you say, I want to say, God bless those Nashville police officers, because it's very clear they heard the sound of gunfire on the second floor and they ran directly toward it. and in so doing confronted and killed that individual. And, you know, God bless those officers because they did what has to be done. The old days of setting up a perimeter and waiting till the shooting stops, those are pre-Columbine days and they're gone. These officers risk their lives every time one of these events happen. They have to go in, find that individual, run at that individual, and take him or her out. And they did it. God bless them.
I'm thinking about these scenarios that they keep coming up. And Dr. Hawkins, are you seeing any sort of trends in terms of where these things are happening and what the targets are and who the individuals who are carrying out these attacks, or does it still seem pretty random?
It still seems to me pretty random, to be honest with you, especially if you look at this particular situation and who the shooter was. It's a completely different situation. Now, what you do have in common is you don't see a quote unquote conservative carrying out these attacks. You usually see people who are moderate to left of center or far left carrying out these attacks. That's one commonality. But other than that, it seems to me, and this again is what's the shame, Alex. The common thread is you just have people who are taking advantage of soft targets. And this individual I'm writing right now, this individual had texted a friend and said, "I'm going to die today." But she decided that on her way out, she was going to take as many people as she could with her. And we've got to take that option away from people. You don't take that option away by banning this type of gun or that type of gun. We've seen far more people killed in just handgun attacks alone. The Virginia Tech shooting stands out there with 32 killed just with the use of two handguns. So it's not the type of weapon. It's the amount of time and the element of surprise that the attacker has because the targets are soft, and we have to change that.
So how do we change it? What are the approaches? And again, I'm all for arming teachers, but I don't trust most of the teachers. So I trust some of them, but they're the same people who are ruining the schools anyway. So how do we do this right?
Right. Well, it's multi-layer, Alex. I think you and I discussed this after Uvalde. You have to have a single entrance. It's just it. Everything else is locked. Everything else is a no-go. It's not an exit. It's not an entrance. You have one exit and entrance. It's the same spot. And at that spot, you have that hardened. You have a guard there who is armed, a resource officer. Ideally, what I said after Uvalde, I'll say again, ideally you have that single entrance. Probably a few feet from that entrance, you have a partial wall, a partition that would give that resource officer some cover, so should somebody come in opening fire, he has something to take cover behind. And then you have a second officer who's floating. One officer is fixed at that single entrance. A second resource officer just throughout the day floats, moves through the school, makes sure those doors are locked, gets to know the kids get to know him or her, and they know he's there to keep them safe. And you have to have a good perimeter, too. That would be the second thing. You have the single entrance. The second thing would be, so you have a single entrance, that's number one. Then you have the armed resource officers, number two. Then you have a strong perimeter, that's number three. And then number four, armed teachers, because they are the last defense. But as you say, you don't force teachers to be armed. You don't do that to them. You let the teachers who want to be armed tell you and go through the proper training and then be armed. But they are there as the last line of defense. In a situation like Parkland, where the gunman got by, the resource officer, he got by everything, the teachers were what could have saved those kids. And this is what the commission said. I'm not just giving you my opinion. This is what the Parkland commission said, that the teachers could have saved untold numbers of lives. But no one was armed.
Yeah, you had an article on how the shooter considered two locations and chose the one with the least security. It's so obvious that the you just should not send your school your children to schools without security precautions, because again, it just the software targets what's going to get chosen. You have an article on John Rich, the Country Star, saying how we need to protect our children like we protect money and jewelry, which is such an amazing point. It's got armed guards everywhere if there's money or jewelry, but not if our children are there. It's a yes, of course, it should be a no-brainer, yet it's not. I want to ask you about the White House, which is going to push gun control in the wake of this, I'm sure. Do we know what is going to be next, what they're going to go for?
Well, he's stuck on his three issues. It's going to be an assault weapons ban, universal background checks, and either gun storage laws or a red flag law. Yesterday, it was gun storage, universal background checks, and an assault weapons ban. A lot of this falls on deaf ears, though, because he pushes an assault weapons ban even after handgun attacks. You remember in January when California saw three or four mass shootings in a week, every one of those, except maybe one, but I think all of them were carried out with a handgun. And Biden responded to those by pushing an assault weapons ban. So he has kind of overreached, jumped the shark, whatever phraseology you want to use, until this just falls on deaf ears. That's my opinion, Alex. But when I talk to congressmen and I hear what they say about his push, I don't think anybody's listening.
Doc, how often do we see mass shootings that take place by women and by trans?
By trans is very difficult for me to say because they're not ID'd as such very often. I think you've had a couple this year, a couple of shooters who have either been trans or have declared themselves non-binary. And those would be the only two in my memory. So you might be up to three, maybe two or three. That's it, Alex. As far as women, you'll remember, I believe it was December 2nd, 2015, San Bernardino. The attackers were male and female.
Yeah.
There were two of them. And then there was a shooting in Vegas where officers were just taking their break like you see them do in a McDonald's or whatever, and someone walked right up behind them, opened fire on them. The attackers, there was a male and a female. Those, off the top of my head, are the only three instances I can remember where there's a female. So you've got, I can remember three female, and I can remember three in which you had what you would call non-binary or transgender. So total of six right there.
Interesting. And we'll keep an eye on that. Dr. Hawkins, wonderful reporting, and thank you for doing the hard work on tough days.
Thank you, Alex.
I'm American made. I got American parts.
All right, that's today's show. Thanks so much to Robert Marlowe for helping me pick topics and Zach Jones for putting it together and for all of you listening and telling 10,000 friends and family members about everything we do at Breitbart News. We'll talk to you tomorrow.